As our preschool through second graders are dismissed, I want to invite you to take your copy of God's Word and turn to Psalm 90. Psalm 90 this morning. I want to begin a three-week series on stewardship, thinking specifically about the stewardship of time, abilities, resources. But this morning, we want to focus in on the stewardship of our time, or as the message is entitled here, leveraging our time to the glory of God, which I think is coming straight out of our text this morning in Psalm 90. Let me go ahead and read the text. Hopefully you have found it at this point. I want to read it for us, and then we'll consider these verses together. Psalm 90, beginning in verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set your iniquities before us. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, let your glorious power and your glorious powers to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Will you pray with me? Father, we have heard your word, and more than anything this morning, we need to be transformed by your word. And so we pray that you would speak its truths into our hearts and help us to rightly apply it and understand it for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you're any kind of a fan of The Hobbit, you probably recall that there's an incident that takes place in the storyline shortly after the main character Bilbo finds the magic ring, or the ring of power. There's this exchange that takes place, exchange of riddles, I should say, between Gollum and Bilbo. And in this exchange, near the end of the exchange of riddles, Gollum asks Bilbo this riddle. It goes like this. This thing all things devours, birds, beasts, trees, flowers, gnaws iron, bites steel, grinds hard stones to meal, slays king, ruins town, and beats high mountain down. Well, it took him a moment, but Bilbo quickly figured out the answer to the riddle, and probably we know it at this point, is time. Time accomplishes all of these things. It is a powerful force. It is immovable. Sometimes it's easy for us to think that, well, we have almost a limitless amount of time. We'll put something off till tomorrow. We'll put it off until next year. And we see time as this resource that we have an abundance of. And yet the reality is time marches on, and eventually it consumes every one of us. It will eventually do that. So what are we to do with the time that we have? What are we to do with something so valuable, so powerful, and ultimately so limited in our lives. I suppose there are a couple of options. We could waste it. We could waste that time, spend it foolishly on things that do not matter, have no lasting significance, have no eternal value. We could waste our time. Or we can leverage our time to the glory of God. And my prayer is that Psalm 90 will encourage us to leverage our time to the glory of God. Psalm 90 here is a challenge to steward time well by having a God-centered understanding of time. The world will give us all sorts of things to spend our time on and ways to understand how we should best use our time, but the wisdom of Scripture and the wisdom of God gives us something very different. So this psalm is a prayer that's attributed to Moses, one of those debated things, but I think it's probably right. Attributed to Moses here as he considers that generation wandering in the wilderness. They've just come out of 400 years of bondage and slavery in Egypt. And apparently they haven't had enough of bondage because they want to continue in the bondage of their sin. And because of that, they waste time just wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Here in this psalm, we see confession and mourning over corporate sin. God's people have used their time for personal pleasure. They've used their time for idolatry. They've just used their time for sin. And so they're wandering in the desert. And ultimately, in those 40 years, that generation will all die having squandered their time there in the wilderness. Rather than stewarding their time for the glory of God by taking possession of the promise of the land that he had given them across the Jordan River, they just squandered their time to the glory of self, wandering aimlessly for 40 years. Well, I'm certain this morning that there are two possible outcomes for each one of our lives. Either the Lord Jesus is going to return during our lifetime, and he's gonna come before we take our final breath, or our time in this life will be too soon exhausted and our years will run out. And yet either way, our response with our time must be the same. Scripture commands us in Colossians 4 verse 5 to make the best use of our time. Make the best use of our time. And so the question we want to answer today is, how do we steward our time well to the glory of God? And I want us to consider four important ways of doing that. First, we need clarity. Clarity in the understanding of our time. Have you noticed that time is something that people think a lot about? Some of us are consumed by time. I keep a watch on my wrist. I look at it all the time. It rules my day. There are certain things that I do at certain times during the day. It's something that we think a lot about. It's something that if you look at pop music out there, I mean, we have a whole music industry that's consumed with time dedicated to the subject. Jim Croce wanted to save time in a bottle. Cher wished to be able to turn back time. Do you think they were ever able to do it? Nope. Time catches up with everybody, right? Time slows down for no one, so we need biblical clarity about time. And in the first several verses here of Psalm 90, I think we get some of that clarity. We get three essential points of clarity anyway that I want to point out to us. The first point of clarity is this: time is limited for everyone. Does that go without saying? Time is limited for everyone. Verse 10 reminds us that at best we have 70 or 80 years. That's still the average lifespan of a person. 70 to 80 years. Maybe less. Some a little bit more, but that's about right. That's about it. And then we're gone. But listen, even if we were to live 1,000 years, like Methuselah almost accomplished before the flood back in early Genesis, verse 3 still points us back to one inescapable truth. And it's a truth that sends us back even further to Genesis chapter 3. But I want us to go ahead and read verse 3 here in Psalm 90. Here's what it says. the prayer to God says, you return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. You see, that was the result of sin. We're going to live out a certain number of days, but we will die. Time will run out in this life. And so it doesn't matter how long we have on this earth, that is a reality. God is not going to permit us to live forever on this earth under the present curse because it wouldn't be good for us. And so we're going to need to leverage the time that we have, the limited time that we have for God's glory. Time is limited for everyone. But also, secondly, time can be affected by sin. Now, by this, I mean personal sin. I mean my sin and your sin. Time can be affected. Our time can be affected by our sin. On the one hand, this reference back to Genesis 3 and the curse that we saw in verse 3 here, it's a reminder that sin is that very reason why time is shortened for us. But also we see in verse 9 how personal or corporate sin can affect time. Moses here is reflecting on the futility of 40 years of wandering in the desert. Now, why did they have to wander around in futility for such a long time, for four decades? It's because of sin. It's because of their sin. They chose to waste that time. Look at verse 9 here in our text. It says, for all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. Doesn't that sound kind of depressing? They just pass away under God's judgment, all of our days because of our sin. And at the end of it, it's like, ah, oh well, it's over. It's all done. There it is. Time, our time is affected by sin. And what a waste our lives would be if we spent those days and months and years that we have in disobedience, in sin, in doing things that don't bring honor and glory to God. Now, the wilderness generation here was judged, and they toiled in pointlessness because of their sin. And what I don't want to say is that every toil, every struggle, every problem that we have in life is a result of sin. But I also don't want to say it's not the reason, because it certainly can be. It certainly can be. Time can be affected by our sin. The years that we have, the time that we, or the way we spend our time can be affected by sin. But there's a third point of clarity, and it's this one. Time has no effect on God or His plans. And perhaps this is the most important point of clarity for us. You see, we often lament that time flies, or, man, where has the time gone, or I wish I had more time. Do you know all of those are words that God has never uttered? He has never wished for more time. He has never wondered where the time went or wondered how it got away from Him. He's never been late. He's never been early. Time is just not something that affects God. He is eternal. He stands outside of time. Verse 4 tells us, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. That would be like 15 full lives of you and I lived over and over, 1,000 years. And for God, it's just a watch in the night. It's nothing. He's not affected by it. His plans aren't affected by it. And so listen, we know that our time is fleeting, but praise be to God, we can rest in the God who is not affected by fleeting time, whose plans are not affected by fleeting time. We rest in Him. We trust in Him. We seek His will. In church, if we're going to steward our time well, we need to come to a place where we can confess, like verse 1 says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place. Lord, you have been my dwelling place. If you want to know the number one way to use your time for the glory of God, it's make Him your dwelling place. Make Him that one person in your life that you cling to, that you want to be near. We will not squander our time if we dwell with God. The 19th century missionary C.T. Studd had this kind of biblical clarity in his often quoted statement that he was famous for. He stated, "Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." He had clarity. He knew, I've got a limited amount of time. How will I leverage that for the glory of Christ? And so he sold all that he had and he went to the nations to take the gospel to them. Church, I wonder, do you and I have such clarity about our time, how we spend it, what we do, what we don't do? We need clarity in our time. But secondly, this morning, we need wisdom in the use of our time. We need wisdom in the use of our time. You see, the big question here is, how do we as Christians use our time wisely? Isn't that what we tell our kids probably every day of their life? Hey, make sure you use your time wisely today. That's great, but do we ever tell them how? Do we ever tell them how to use their time wisely? Time can't be started over again. You can't relive your life. But you can live the remainder of the time that you have to the glory of God. You can redeem the time that you have left. And this is the prayer of verse 12 where Moses says, "Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart for wisdom." Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart for wisdom. The theologian Alan Ross says to number here, to number our days. It means more than simply counting days. It includes planning and carrying out and evaluating those activities in that period of time, 70 to 80 years. In other words, we have to think, not just coast through life saying, "Well, I've got plenty of time. I'll just keep coasting through life." No, but think, how am I using my time? How am I honoring the Lord in my time? And how is it that we plan, carry out, and evaluate the spending of our time? Verse 12 tells us it's with a heart of wisdom. We need a heart of wisdom. We need a life that is disciplined and devout to the Lord, that is seeking His wisdom above our own. You see, church, we only have so many heartbeats in this life, so many days, so many hours, and only the Lord knows how many that is. But our question is, what will I do? What will I do with those days? What will I do with those hours? And frankly, too many times in my life, and if you're honest, you probably say the same thing, too often we waste that time. We waste that time. You know, part of the problem is there have never been more opportunities to waste time. Have you noticed that? It seems like every generation has more and more opportunities to waste time. And maybe it's because of all the options that we have in life. Do you know that 100 years ago, you basically, if you went to the grocery store, you would have you'd have two options for buying cereal. Did you know that? You would have the option of buying C.W. Post's brand new cereal called Grape Nuts. I didn't know that was one of the first ones, but Grape Nuts. Or you could buy John Harvey Kellogg's Granos Flakes, or Corn Flakes as we call them today. You had two options about 100 years ago, but if you go to the average grocery store aisle today, you've got about 250 options of cereal. Take your pick. Take your pick. And most of them, by the way, aren't healthy options, are they? They're not healthy options. You see, now, with so many cereal options, something as meaningless as cereal, it's no surprise that today we also have seemingly endless or limitless options to fill our time with pleasure, with entertainment, with good things, with bad things. I would say most of the things that we could fill our times with probably are not healthy either. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 15, the Apostle Paul, he kind of piggybacks on verse 12 here, what the psalm is saying. And he says to us, he commands us, challenges us, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Same thing, Old Testament, New Testament, walk as wise. If we're going to use our time to honor the Lord, we're going to have to walk with wisdom. Because any other walk, any other way of going about life is going to lead us to paths that ultimately waste our time. Church, I want to encourage us to consider the number of days that we have and pray that we would use them wisely. It's not always a choice between doing something that is good and something that is bad. Do we know that? Usually, the bigger issue in my life and in your life is making a decision to use my time to do something that is good or to do something that is best. Because there are all kinds of good things in this life that can be an absolute waste of time when we give too much time to it, especially. What will glorify God? What will make me more like Christ? These are the kind of questions we need to ask. What is going to allow me to be a part of building His kingdom? How can I glorify God with my time? We're going to need God-given wisdom to spend our time for His glory. There's all kinds of entertainment. There are more toys than ever. In every advertisement on TV or on the radio or on the internet is going to tell you, you need this. Your life isn't complete unless you're doing this. If you've never been to Disneyland, if you've never been to this country, if you've never purchased this or watched this movie or done this, then your life is not complete. There's nothing wrong with those things. Are they best? Maybe, maybe not. We need God-given wisdom to spend our time for His glory. Third, this morning, we need satisfaction in the God of our time. Satisfaction in the God of our time. This is so important for understanding the way we steward our time. Listen, everybody, every single person is seeking satisfaction in something. Do you believe that? We're seeking satisfaction in something, someone, whatever the case may be. The other day, I was reading an article that really confirmed this truth. The headline said this: neuroscience confirms that to be truly happy, you will always need something more. Tell me something I don't know. We always need something more. As soon as Apple comes out with a new, more advanced technology, I need something more. Don't laugh, you do too. We always feel like we need something more. And so this comes from a secular way of thinking, and they're absolutely right, because from the secular mindset, in a secular, not God-centered audience, we have to keep seeking, because nothing is going to satisfy. Nothing in this life is going to satisfy us, and so we keep seeking, and that's the only thing that keeps us going. From a secular mindset. The article went on to say, the innate human desire to seek means that we can never truly feel that every desire and wish has been met. I think it's right, from a secular mindset. In other words, you're never going to find satisfaction in this life. Isn't that depressing? Isn't that really depressing to realize that the vast majority of people going about their business at this very moment and going about their business around us on a daily basis, they're seeking something that they'll never be able to find? Isn't that depressing? I hope that's not true for us. Thankfully, Scripture tells us a very different story. It tells us something different about God's people. Listen to Moses' prayer in verses 14 and 15. He says to the Lord, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. each day of our lives, God's presence and His love is sufficient to fill our hearts with satisfaction. Nothing in this world will do it, but the love of God, as He speaks to us through His Word and in prayer, as we're spending time with Him, as we're doing those things, we find that His love is all sufficient to bring us satisfaction, to bring us joy. And we should be praying for it, seeking that satisfaction and joy that can only be found in God alone. Because listen, church, if we begin our day with a desire or seeking satisfaction in something other than God, I can make you one guarantee this morning. It will be a waste of your day. No matter how much you accomplish, no matter how much money you make, no matter how many people you run into, if we don't do it with a heart that finds satisfaction in God, it will be a waste of our day. A waste of our time. It's because verse 14 continues. It says, finding satisfaction in God is the only way to rejoice and be glad all of our days. Anybody want to be joyful? Anybody want to be glad? Find satisfaction in God. Find your joy, find your hope, find your peace in Him. Now verse 15 is a prayer that basically says, I'm going to restate it for us. It basically says this: Lord, we've spent enough time in sin, and would you make the rest of the time that we have honoring to you? Let us spend the rest of our days rejoicing and being glad in you. That's Moses' prayer. We've spent enough years chasing after unsatisfactory things. We've spent enough time chasing after things that can't give us hope, can't fulfill the desires of our heart. Would you make the rest of our days glad and full of joy because we find that satisfaction in you and find that you are all satisfying? Nothing will ultimately satisfy the heart except God alone. The 4th century church father Augustine wrote in his Confessions, "You stir man to take pleasure in praising you because you have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you." You will never have enough time to accomplish all the things we think we need to accomplish to bring us joy apart from God. We'll never have enough time. We'll be restless. We'll go throughout as many days as we have in this life seeking after things that don't amount to anything eternally until we find our joy and our rest in God. You see, without satisfaction in God, we're going to waste our time chasing substitutes, chasing after idols, things that can't satisfy. Fourthly, this morning, we need effectiveness in the fruit of our time. We need to be productive, effective in the fruit of our time. What will you accomplish with the time that you have? That's a fair question. That's a question that every single one of us should answer. What will you accomplish with the time that you have? And the reason I think that's an important question is simply this. Every single one of us will give an account before God for how we spend our time. We're going to give an account for the fruitless times and the fruitful times in our lives. And so now we see here in the final two verses of Psalm 90 that the joy and the gladness and the satisfaction that Moses is seeking for the people, the joy and the satisfaction that we find in pursuing God, it must overflow in fruitful use of our time. That is the result. That's how it ends up. And so I want you to notice two truths from the closing of this prayer. The first truth is this: God's servants want to see the power of God at work in their lives. Now look at verse 16, the first part of that. Moses prays. He says, let your work, speaking to God, let your work be shown to your servants. Let your work be shown to your servants. In other words, when our heart finds hope and finds joy in God alone, we want to see Him at work in our lives. We want to delight in Him, so we spend our time seeking to serve Him, seeking to please Him, seeking to be a part of the bride of Christ that is the church. We want to see God at work in our lives. Church, I wonder how we would answer the question, what has God done through me lately? In the way that I've spent my time, what has God done through me lately? Could we answer that quickly? Or would it take us too long to think about it? Of course, if we're in Christ, His Spirit is going to be working in us and working through us. This is why the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, it gets played out in our lives, and it requires the Spirit. This is something that only God can do. But listen, God's people, they want to see His work played out in their lives. The second truth from the closing of this prayer is this: God's servants want it to be known that what they do with their time is done for the glory of God. In other words, I want it to be known that how I spend my time to the best of my ability and with the help of the Holy Spirit, it's done to the glory of God. This is the prayer of verse 17. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. You see, the only way that your life and my life is ultimately going to matter is if we seek God in His desire for the effective use of our time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, the Apostle Paul says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. In the Lord, all the toiling we do, all the ways that we spend our time are not in vain if they're done in the Lord, if they're done for His glory. William Taylor puts it this way. He says, so long as we're here, we're required by God for something. Let us therefore find out what that is and do it. And while we do it, let us pray that God may establish it. There is no use in doing something that the Lord does not intend to establish, that He does not intend to bless. That's using wisdom to honor the Lord in our time. Unless we're praying for God's help and seeking His glory, we're never going to accomplish anything of lasting value with our time. Because listen, you can keep plenty busy in this life. This is the mantra that we hear all over the place. If you ask somebody, hey, where you been lately? Hey, what have you been doing? I've been slammed. I've been so busy. And every time I hear that, I want to say, join the crowd. We're all busy. There's not a single one of us. I don't care if you're retired or if you're in the prime of life, moving up the corporate ladder. Everybody is busy. But do you know what people do when they're seeking the glory of God with their time? They set priorities. And they say, I will have margin in my life to serve the Lord and to worship Him because this is most important. I can make a million. I can make all the friends in the world. But if I haven't glorified and honored the Lord with my time, I've just wasted it. We can keep plenty busy, but will we use our time to make a kingdom impact? And I hope we'll ask ourselves that question today. Am I using my time to make a kingdom impact? I don't mean my kingdom, a personal kingdom. I mean God's kingdom. Am I making a kingdom impact with my time? And I'm afraid the answer too many times is no, we're not. You know, James Boyce said, of all the mathematical disciplines, this is the hardest, to number our days. We count everything else, but we do not seem to be able to use our days rightly and with wisdom. I think it's too true in my own life. Well, Psalm 90 tells us, first of all, we're going to have to believe that God is the author of our days. That we're not ultimately the one who rules our days, but we let Him rule our days and number our days if we're going to be good stewards. It tells us that we're going to have to seek wisdom from Him and find our ultimate satisfaction in Him, or we'll chase after other things with our time and we will not use it wisely. And only then will we be able to number our days. Only then will we find that those days are sufficient for doing exactly what God has called us to do. I agree. Numbering our days may be the most difficult thing we have to do in life, but it is amazing. It is amazing. No matter how many days that is, maybe it's 30 years or maybe it's 100 years that God gives us, and every single time, if we'll use those years to His glory, we'll find that He has given us exactly the right number of days. Isn't that amazing? God is like this incredible mathematician. He knows how many days we need to bring Him glory with our lives. But we're going to have to find our joy and satisfaction in Him. We're going to have to pray for wisdom in how we spend our time. Church, it all boils down to this. The only way we'll be able to leverage our time to the glory of God is to have our lives centered on Jesus alone. You see, if we're chasing anything else in this life, we're going to squander away the most precious resource that we have, our time. If we're going to leverage our time to the glory of God, we're going to have to receive the gospel of Jesus while we have time, while God still gives us time. Receiving the gospel and repenting, turning away from sin. I know that's hard. It's not meant to be easy. And then trusting in Jesus as the all-sufficient Savior for sinners. And then spend our time chasing after Him and desiring Him each day of our lives. This is the only way that we will leverage our time for the glory of God. And my prayer is that each one of us, as we leave this place today, it would be our desire. Leverage that time. Use it for the glory of God. As soon as you step out these doors, you're going to find a million things to do with your time. Will we say no to any of them? Let us use them. Let us use our time for the glory of God. Bring Him honor in how we spend our time. Let's pray. Father, it occurs to me to pray at this moment that our time has been spent well over the past hour, and that You have been glorified in not only our presence here in this building, but in the posture of our hearts toward You. As we have sung, listened to Your word, and heard it hopefully rightfully proclaimed, Father, may that time be pleasing to You. And Lord, I also want to pray that we would take time to reconsider how we spend our time. That we would allow Your Holy Spirit to shine a Holy Spirit light into our lives to show us maybe some areas that we're just wasting time. We're not doing anything of eternal significance. We're not seeking to honor You, but we're just wasting time. Father, convict us where that needs to take place. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that has yet to give their life to You, has yet to turn from sin and trust in You completely and what You've done on the cross on their behalf, God, that You would help them to use this time wisely as an opportunity to respond to the gospel message. Father, we thank You for Your word, and we pray that it would continue to speak into our hearts. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.